Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Raj Punjabi, head of identity content at HuffPost.
And I'm Noah Michelson, head of HuffPost Personal.
Welcome to Am I Doing It Wrong? The show that explores the all-too-human anxieties we have about trying to get our lives right. Okay, Noah, how well do you think you take care of your teeth?
Okay, this is an easy one for me.
Okay.
So well, because I had a cavity that turned into a root canal, that turned into two oral surgeries, that turned into a tooth being removed,
wow,
that turned into an implant. And it cost me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so never again, basically.
No, I was like, for this much money, I should get a trip to Maui. I should get a convertible. I should get dinner at the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
And all I got was a new tooth. And I love my new tooth, but I was pissed about it.
So now you're just like really careful.
Every day, all day long, I'm just thinking about my teeth. What about you? How good are you at it?
I think I'm just okay. I mean, they're fine. I go to the dentist from time to time, but I drink a lot of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, my teeth could be whiter. I'm also like, should I be flossing 10 times a day? Mm. I don't know. I feel like I definitely could be doing more.
I would love just to learn more. I feel like I could always be doing more.
Yeah, teeth are important.
Give me more info. So you know who's going to help us?
Tell me.
Dr. Stephanie Dumanian. She is the owner of Park Lex 60 Dental here in Manhattan. And she's basically a celebrity dentist, which means, I mean, she's kind of a celebrity now, but she works with celebrities and sports stars and models, and she gives them their winning smiles. So obviously she can help us and everyone listening.
Dr. Dumanian, give us rich people tea.
Let's do it. Dr. D, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Noah, for having me.
Yeah. So let's start with something very, very basic. Let's just talk about brushing our teeth. How often should we be doing it? Is it two times a day?
Two times a day is the standard. You know, there are certain things that might make you want to brush more often if you've had something kind of gross to eat at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're doing Invisalign treatment or some kind of orthodontic treatment, you want to brush a bit more frequently.
Okay.
But I think if you're brushing twice a day and flossing once a day, you're off to a good start.
Can you brush too much? Is there a danger? Like, let's say someone is just compulsively brushing after every single thing they eat. Is that bad for your teeth?
I mean, I imagine it probably is at a certain point. That's why we recommend a soft toothbrush. Mm-hmm. I always say anything more than a soft toothbrush is for your shoes, should not be put in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you have to keep in mind that toothpaste that we're using are a bit abrasive.
Right.
And so I think that if you're brushing more than once a day, perhaps you just want to brush with water. I don't think that toothpaste is necessary each and every time. And if you've got some bad breath, you might want to focus more on your tongue than your teeth if you're doing it excessively.
Okay.
But I mean, most people are not compulsive brushers.
Right.
I have a hard time getting some of my patients to brush once a day.
To do it at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we'll focus more on the more is good probably.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What about
breakfast and coffee, should we be brushing before or after that stuff?
Good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married. I don't think my marriage would last very long if I didn't brush early on.
Yeah, no, same.
But generally speaking, I like to brush before breakfast. I sometimes do brush after breakfast as well, especially like on a weekend brunch situation. Mm-hmm. I think the main thing to keep in mind is that generally when you're eating, you know, you're probably introducing some acidic foods into the mix.
Sure.
So you don't want to brush directly after having something acidic. For example, coffee. Mm-hmm. If you now have a lot of acid in your mouth and you're brushing your teeth, you're basically brushing your teeth with acid, which is bad for the
enamel. I always brush after coffee because I'm worried about the stain. So
rinse with warm water. Oh, okay. Sorry, not warm water. Rinse with water.
Okay.
Rinse with water and you'll be good. And tea, for example, a lot of people focus on coffee, but tea is actually more tannic. Mm. Some of them, especially green tea. And you'll notice that your mouth feels a little cotton mouthy. So that's going to add more stain to your teeth. It's going to allow stain to stick more. So same thing, just have a little bit of rinse with water and then brush like after half an hour, 20 minutes, something like that.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm airing out some of my own personal dirty laundry right now. My boyfriend likes to, I'm sorry, Benji. He likes to rinse his mouth after.
Poor Benji. Come see me, Benji.
He likes to rinse his mouth after he brushes. And I'm like, but you're rinsing away the fluoride. Am I wrong? Or is it okay if he's rinsing after he brushes?
Oh, I need to rinse. I'm team Benji.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's what we're going to hear.
I kind of have, I'm not going to lie. I might be team Benji too. Oh. I mean, the fluoride still sticks around a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. It makes me kind of nauseous.
Yeah, I can't. It's like this
look at
stuff.
This. This is why I do this show.
But if you're really concerned,
yeah,
then a better way might be to introduce a fluoride mouth rinse.
So I use one of those.
So you can rinse after brushing. Use a fluoride mouth rinse. It'll leave you nice and fresh without that like foamy, soapy, unnaturally minty taste that we're all talking about.
Okay, now that I called out Benji and I was wrong, one thing that he introduced me to was an electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
Is that what you recommend for brushing? Is it always going to be electric's better than manual?
I'm not going to say that electric is always going to be better than manual, but very few people brush as they should. And so electric takes the guesswork out of it. So unless you're the most meticulous person that there ever was that's going to brush for exactly 2 minutes in a circular motion with the bristles facing towards the gum line, getting tired already just hearing it, electric is the way to go.
Okay.
I mean, the way I look at it, it's doing all the work. Like, think about a vibrator versus hands. Like, all the work. And also, electric toothbrush. I swear I'm not being endorsed by, like, an electric toothbrush company, but doesn't it move in circles? And I feel like that's good for removing stains.
It does. Well, you're supposed to brush in a circular motion.
See, that's a lot of work.
And there's always a part of the mouth that someone neglects. So they usually will beep at you to kind of give you an indication of when to switch sides.
Like, every 30 seconds.
And
I love that.
If you put too much pressure, it'll actually stop. It's basically like putting on the brakes for you.
Okay.
So if you're concerned about overbrushing, your electric toothbrush will make sure that you're not brushing with too much force so that you can brush at your comfort level.
And I feel like they're not that expensive. Like you can get a fairly
for like 50 bucks now, I think. Yeah.
There's all kinds of different brands. I mean, the premium is definitely like the Oral-B and the Philips Sonicare.
Right.
But there's so many like new to industry toothbrushes that are all really great too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Very accessible.
Inspired. This is, you know, very child of immigrant of me, but whenever I see toothbrushes on sale, I buy like 3 or 4 of them. Because there's nothing more grown up than having like a guest, like an extra toothbrush in your house in case someone comes over and they need a toothbrush.
I'm immigrant child too. Yeah. And like my mom has like a stash of them.
My mom has like 12 from
like
Costco.
Someone comes over and it's like the first question out of her mouth besides do you want something to eat is do you have a toothbrush for your stay? You know?
Wait, I want to come over to your mom's. That's awesome.
Very she's pretty sweet. Fabulous. Very, very hospitable. She'll make you feel right at home. You'll never want to leave.
Aww. Less sexy question, but important one. Sensitivity toothpaste. Like, you know, ones that are created for like sensitive gums. I have sensitive gums. Do those work? Are those real? Like, I don't want to name names, but are they really better for sensitive gums and teeth?
I want to break that down into two things.
Okay.
Sensitive toothpaste for teeth does work depending on what's causing the sensitivity and how severe the condition is.
Okay.
So some people may have sensitivity due to thin enamel. If it's mildly thin, sensitive toothpaste is going to help. But if it's really, really thin, then we got to talk about why is enamel thin and what can we do to restore it? So then we get into veneer territory for the most part.
Okay.
And that'll alleviate a lot of that sensitivity. Another reason we see sensitivity is because of gum recession.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens most often from clenching your teeth. And so you'll get some recession along your gum line. And I always say, when you have recession at your gum line, the root of your tooth is exposed and it's kind of like not wearing a sweater in the wintertime.
Sure.
So you're going to feel that coldness.
Right.
Mm. So Sensodyne toothpaste is one I really like to recommend, and mm-hmm. it does work for tooth sensitivity. But gum sensitivity, I don't know if I'm understanding that the same way. Gum sensitivity, like if your gums are bleeding or mm-hmm. hurt, like a sensitive toothpaste isn't going to help with that.
Okay.
So it's more sensitive teeth than okay. gums, like the cold feeling, the chill you feel.
Yeah. Well, I use Sensodyne, so now I'm really happy for sensitive teeth.
But, do you feel like it helps?
I don't know.
Right, because you're not using it.
Sometimes when my dentist compliments me, I'm like, okay, it's working, but you know, I don't know. But
Raj, just stop and then you'll see. Like stop okay, for like okay. a week and you'll be like, what did I do to myself?
Oh my God. Because I buy like a lot of it and I use it. And I'm like, this is kind of expensive. Like, should
it's
I
really
be investing
expensive.
In it?
Yeah.
Okay,
but it works really
well.
It really does work well.
Yeah.
And well, then, you know, if that's not helping with the sensitivity, I mean, maybe you just need a sealant on the roots or something okay. like that. And that helps a lot with the sensitivity.
Okay.
Just needs a little coating, a little sweater, right. so to speak.
What that. About... toothpaste in general, what are you going to say? A person's going into a store, what's the best toothpaste to get, in your opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, to be quite honest, I really do like Sensodyne toothpaste. Okay. I think it's one of the purest toothpaste out there, one of the purest commercial toothpaste out there that still has fluoride, but has very few additives. So actually the fluoride in it is more active. If there's a lot of things in your toothpaste, there may be fluoride, but it's not free fluoride that can enter your teeth. And so Sensodyne's nice in that way that there aren't a lot of additives. I know a lot of people these days are sort of shying away from fluoride, but I really see when people quit using the fluoride, I notice it on their x-rays, I notice it on their teeth. And so I'm just a really big proponent of using the fluoride.
Okay.
And then I'd say the other toothpaste that I really like that I can't say has any legitimate health benefits, but Aquafresh Extreme Clean, if you've ever used it, it makes you foam like a rabid dog. I mean, I don't think, it's true though. I don't think anything is better for your breath. It's just the most-
Is the lathering good?
I mean,
does it feel really good or is it?
It feels really good.
Okay.
It's so foamy and it's like your mouth is so fresh.
It's like your mouth is like went through a car wash or something.
Okay, so that's how I feel, by the way.
It feels like a toothpaste and a mouth rinse in one.
I want that. But I also feel like that when I brush in the shower, I feel like I'm going through like a full body, you know, car wash.
The whole experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole bath experience for me is just a very luxurious experience. I like put up my phone, watch Netflix, do a face mask, brush my teeth. Yeah. It's like a whole to-do.
You're doing it right.
Yeah.
I mean, no one can bother me when I'm in there. It's just like it's
your
chill
time.
I'm going to brag for a second.
Go.
I floss every single night.
I feel like that deserves a round of applause.
No,
thank you.
Truly.
Thank you. But then when I was getting ready for this show, I read this article from 2016. They were like, maybe flossing actually doesn't do that much.
Stop reading articles.
I know. I need to stop reading. But I want, Dr. D, I want you to tell me that that article is wrong and that I should be flossing.
You probably should be flossing.
Okay.
But I will say not all people see the same benefits from flossing as other people do, right? So there's like genetic predispositions that people have. And so I always like to say, if you have a really big space in between your teeth, that floss is doing almost nothing. Now we got to look at different tools out there that's going to scrape the sides of the tooth and not just like float in between it unnoticed, you know?
Yeah.
So we really have to focus on that. And then technique. Technique's a really big thing, right? So a lot of people just snap the floss down and pull it back out again.
Yeah.
And we're looking for, we call it a C-shape hugging motion around the tooth so that you're scraping up whatever's down by the gum line, both on the front and the back.
This is an art that I did not know about.
Yeah, so we're not just getting rid of like, you know, the spinach that's caught in there. Yeah. We're actually trying to do more and get the plaque. Is that the right thing?
Yeah, we're getting really deep down on a microbial level. And there's a lot of microscopic schmutz that needs to, very scientific, needs to get out of there.
Schmutz.
And so, you know, that's why people use things like water picks and air flossers because technique, in the same way with toothbrush, technique is tough and a lot of people don't do things the way they should. And that's probably why flossing isn't as effective as they say, because most people are not flossing correctly.
User malfunction.
Totally. Right. Okay. And Dr. D led us straight to the water pick question.
Yeah.
I feel like a water pick is so 90s.
It
is. Very Baywatch.
Yeah.
Like, should we be using a water pick? I feel like I don't know.
I mean, if you're not
going to
floss, then you can use one. And if you've got big spaces between your teeth and a lot of dental work, it certainly helps.
Okay.
It's not the most sexy thing.
It's not the sexiest.
No.
But they do make air flossers, which are a little different than water picks. And it's like less of a like weird like mouth over the straw situation where you're trying to avoid a full bath out of your water pick. And it just like, it targets like a high speed air tunnel through your teeth.
That's kind of like the thing they use in dentist offices, right? You guys have that thing where like...
It's more of an ultrasonic scaler. That's a lot of irrigation. That thing will drown you at home.
Okay,
I mean, that'd be more like waterboarding. I probably would use it at home. Torture device, you know?
What about, okay, here's another one. Should people floss before or after they brush? I like to floss before because I feel like I am getting stuff out and then the brushing sort of finishes the deal. But I know other people are like, no, you brush first and then you floss. Do you have thoughts?
Yes, I have strong thoughts.
Oh,
Am I doing it wrong? I mean, I wouldn't say that there's anything wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, you want to get rid of the large debris and flossing is sort of fine tuning, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of the last polish that goes in and, you know, you want to get rid of most of the stuff so you can get rid of the small microbes that are on the tooth. Remember, we were talking about the microbiology. So the toothbrush isn't going to get that. All the floss is going to be able to get in there is smaller and more detailed.
When we started the show, I was like, oh, Raj, I'm doing everything
so well.
And look at this. I'm being humbled.
You're doing really well, though. I mean, I can't tell you that I have many patients who do floss daily.
Okay.
I think A for effort.
I'm going to hold on to that.
You.
I'm going to hold on to that.
I still say A for effort.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the things that we eat and drink. I know we started talking about that. What are some food and drinks that are, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but like more acidic that will wear away your enamel, like, or bad for your teeth or whatever it is?
People are really into that lemon water trend.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I see a lot of effects on patients' enamel. I'll be like, what happened? Do you have acid reflux? Like, what's changed? And they can't figure it out. And then I'm like, do you drink lemon water in the morning? And they're like, every morning. And I'm like,
shoot.
And then do you brush your teeth like right after too? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, this is terrible.
Okay, so we don't know this stuff. So I like lemon water in the morning, not every morning. So I should not be brushing right after.
You should not be brushing right after.
Should I brush right before or do I just need to wait?
Sure, you can brush before.
Okay.
Or wait.
Okay.
Pick one or the other. But you don't want to be brushing after you've just exposed your teeth to all this acid. You're basically brushing acid.
And then you think we should like rinse our mouth after we do that.
Sure. Or drink it through a straw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of my patients are like, I like to drink it hot. I'm like, let it come to room temperature and drink it through a straw.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's going to deliver it more directly right down your throat.
Yeah, people do that with coffee too, to try and tea.
It helps. Yeah. It helps minimize staining as well with coffee, for example. It's not getting exposed to your teeth as much.
Mm-hmm. Here's one I wondered about. Just plain sparkling water or carbonated water. Is that bad for us?
I mean, it's slightly more acidic, but you're usually having it with your meal. So like at the end of it, your saliva is buffering everything out.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say, if you're eating or drinking anything that's bad for your teeth, like I think the classic example is something sugary like candy.
Right.
Enjoy it all at once.
Okay.
Don't spread it out. Don't snack on it over an extended period of time because it doesn't give your saliva a chance to buffer out that acid and to heal your mouth, basically.
Okay, so sugar is bad for your teeth.
Yeah, but come on. Life is short. We got to enjoy something.
I feel like I have like known that, but I just ignore that that's a
thing. But there's healthier ways to have your sugar is what I'm trying to say.
Totally.
And so if you're going to have a bag of M&Ms, have the bag all at once. Mm-hmm. Don't sit there and have this bag of M&Ms for 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, God.
This is good.
I thought you were like getting rid of it when you brush right after. Okay, this is really good to know.
We are learning so much. What about on the flip side, like the foods we should be eating for our teeth?
I mean, calcium-rich foods are good.
Okay.
Generally, things like that also are more alkaline. So like, you know, contrasting to something acidic. So it is a better environment for your oral saliva to avoid the bacteria that cause cavities.
Mm-hmm.
So like a wheel of brie as a snack.
Perfect. Cheddar cheese. There you go.
Okay. What about bad breath?
Yeah.
How do we vanquish it? What is the most common reason we have it? What are your thoughts?
There are many reasons for bad breath. And some of them are dental and some of them are non-dental.
Mm.
And like not to get too gross into the details about it, but sometimes there are like different bad breath categories that you can kind of tell what they're from. But that's for another day.
Okay.
In short, you know, if you've got really bad gum disease or haven't had a cleaning in a long time, you're going to have bad breath. If you're one of those people who never brushes their tongue too, like a lot of schmutz gets stuck in there. It's really gross.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the tongue is used to having stuff. So it almost gets like a little bit like hairy. And so it like holds more yucky stuff in it. So like you want to brush your teeth. You want to brush your tongue. Want to go to the dentist every 6 months. You know, people have really bad gum disease. Like they're going to have bad breath. But another reason, funny enough, that like I often diagnose in patients sort of inadvertently is like digestive issues.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have heartburn and they don't realize, and they come to see me and I'm like, I notice some of the acidic wear on their teeth from the heartburn. And then like also like their breath has a particular kind of sour smell to it that I feel like coincides with the heartburn.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people will be like, yeah, I do have heartburn and it's bad today. Or I didn't think I had heartburn. And they come back 6 months later, like, you know, Dr. D, I went to see my doctor after you mentioned it and I have pretty bad heartburn. So that's another reason I feel like you could have bad breath. And of course there's food odors, but you know.
Yeah. But the digestive stuff is then you have to change your diet, right? Like, I feel like that's a common theme on this when we're doing like health related episodes where it's like, what you eat, what you put into your body is going to affect your skin, your teeth, all of that stuff.
It's holistic. Yeah. Like the whole
it's
thing.
It's definitely holistic. And it's holistic with dentistry too. I mean, there are lots of like systemic links between like, you know, gum disease and cardiovascular issues and diabetes and even pregnancy related issues and and teeth problems. So everything is very holistic. But in some situations, like we said, life is short.
Yeah.
Maybe you should take an antacid.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. And go see your dentist and get your teeth.
Tongue scraper?
Yay. Yes.
Yay.
Definitely. My brother-in-law, I'm going to do a little shout out right now to my brother-in-law, Ravi.
Uh-huh.
He loves his tongue scraper so much. He uses a copper one. We were actually on a vacation in Sicily and he forgot his tongue scraper at home. And he tried in Italian. He doesn't speak a lick of Italian, but he tried to explain to them that he needed this tongue scraper. And every town we would go to, he would try to find someone that could get it for him. And finally, I think it was in Palermo that he finally got a tongue scraper. He was the happiest guy there ever was. But yes, they work.
Right. You know, I've also heard.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, I've also heard you can just use a spoon too if you don't have one.
Oh, that's good.
And a pinch, you can rub a spoon
just
on your tongue.
Just keep it separately from like the rest
of
the spoon.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, the toothbrush probably works great too.
Or a toothbrush. I mean, right.
But. Yeah. But okay. They do sell them. They're pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to do, this is like almost every episode where I'm like, this is a South Asian thing.
Right.
Like tongue scrapers are a South Asian thing. Is your brother-in-law Indian? Or,
He is.
Like I saw it in the elders growing up and I was like, what is that contraption? But like, it's nice to know that that's still a thing.
Oh my God. I love that you picked that up, Raj. Yeah, I didn't realize. I thought it was just my brother-in-law's
Indian
thing.
Old people and their tongue scrapers. It's like very real. Yeah. But I mean, if it's good for your hygiene, why the hell not?
Completely.
Yeah. But I brush my tongue.
It's not harmful at all. I brush my tongue too. Yeah. I don't pull out the tongue scraper, but I brush my tongue.
I might be convinced to.
I have one. I love it. I do. Yeah.
I'm going today to get one.
Okay. I'm still not going to, but you guys are welcome to. It definitely works.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
So Raj, tell me, how is your social battery right now?
You know, today it's pretty high and vibrant, but it varies day to day.
That makes total sense because it's super easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
Truly. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. For me, therapy has been illuminating. Just to be able to process day-to-day anxieties has helped me so much. I kind of wish that for everyone.
Well, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/doingitwrong today and get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/doingitwrong. Welcome back to Am I Doing It Wrong?
All right, I want to know a little bit about cavities.
Yeah.
Why do some people get more cavities than others?
Aside from just maybe shitty diets.
Yeah.
Shitty diets kind of has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. So if we talk about the process by which cavities happen, you have to have a particular bacteria. It's super boring. It's called strep mutans. But you have to have this bacteria in your mouth. And then you have to feed this bacteria, right? Okay. Because it's not going to grow if it's not fed. And so the thing that feeds it is sugar. And it only likes to eat in certain conditions.
Oh
so it
my
only
God.
Likes to eat when there's an acidic environment in your mouth.
Oh, wow.
So you basically have to give it sugar and an acidic environment in order for this bacteria to eat. And so the big issue I find is that a lot of patients are now not using fluoride, didn't have access to fluoride when they were younger. And fluoride actually does become part of the tooth structure. And it makes your enamel stronger and less prone to cavities when you're younger. But then when you're older, you can still use fluoride to prevent cavities. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a lot of this bacteria in your mouth and you have a small cavity somewhere, that bacteria is going to spread. So in someone who has a lot of cavities, we're dealing with a bacterial load issue, right? Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot of bacteria and the bacteria is running amok. And when patients come in like that and they're like, well, can I do one filling this year, one filling next year? It's like, no, we got to do them all now because we got to get rid of that bacteria. We got to get you back to baseline, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the situation that happens. You don't get someone who like has a lot of cavities that doesn't go to the dentist. They generally like haven't been in a while, have been a bit neglectful.
Yeah.
And now this bacteria has taken over their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a combination of diet and the bacteria.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's a Pixar movie in the making of like the little cute little bacteria.
Yeah.
And they're like, yay, cavities.
Who's hungry, right? And he's looking for his next meal.
Yes.
And he wants to be all nice and cozy in the right circumstances.
And the environment needs to be perfect. So yeah. Gross and so cute at the
I mean,
same time.
A long time ago when we were back in our training, we used to call cavities for kids because it was really scary for them. We'd call them sugar bugs, which makes it so much cuter, right?
Yeah.
I kind of wish I got coddled that way. I love my dentist. He's my uncle and he's going to retire soon. So I'm like really like paranoid.
You're coming.
No,
right?
I'm definitely going to come too because I have so much fear. Like, let's talk about that. Like, dental anxiety a little
people
bit.
People coming to see you.
So I think, scary.
I think the dentist more than even like the doctor.
100%. 100%.
How do people get over that? Or what are some of your tips? Or if you're going to go see the dentist and you're terrified?
Yeah. I have lots of tips.
Please.
I will say I see dental anxiety a lot less than I used to in the younger populations. And I think that has a lot to do with just like the general acceptance of like pediatric dentists.
Yeah.
They make going to the dentist fun from a young age. And I find that by the time those patients come to see me, they are sort of associated with a fun experience. They're like, you know, they might not get, you know, the same toys and goodies they'd get, but they get their goodie bag to take home, which is like a nice treat, like immediate gratification.
Yeah.
And then I think the main thing is that, you know, we operate a little differently. We really try to get to know our patients. It's a very bespoke experience.
Yeah.
And we're very non-judgmental. So when
that's
someone comes
it,
to
right? Because I don't want to be scolded if I have a cavity, which is like my,
but why?
You know,
things
what I
happen.
Hear from so many. I know. I mean, I personally, again, because I love mine, but I've heard, and he hasn't hurt me either, and, you know, with the shots and everything, but I hear all my girlfriends, like all of them talk about the drilling and how terrifying it is. And I'm like, when I have to find a new dentist, I'm like really worried about that stuff. But I love you connecting with them personally.
Yeah. I mean, I always like to say that basically like when someone comes in, I haven't been a dentist in a really long time. I'm like, that's okay. You're here now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't like to focus on the past. Whatever like is going on, we can fix it.
Yeah.
You know, it's ultimately just becomes a question of time and money, but we can fix it. So we'll take care of it.
That's really nice because my best friend, she went for the first time in like over 5 years and she came back and she was like, I basically need a new mouth. Mm-hmm. Like the dentist made her feel so bad.
Yeah.
No.
It was so bad.
I mean, the other thing too, though, is that like we have options as consumers. And
I
if you see
agree.
Someone and they don't make you feel good, I know it's annoying to have to do the work to find someone new, but like, you can pick someone else.
Yeah,
yeah,
you totally can.
The last time I went to the dentist, there was a guy checking out next to me. Mm. And they were like, okay, we'll see you back in 3 months for your next cleaning. And I was like, oh, 3 months. And I'm so crazy about my teeth that I'm like, should I be going every 3 months? Is that for normal people or is 6 months, you know, for the average person is every 6 months going to be totally fine?
For most people, every 6 months is going to be fine. But it also really depends on sort of what's happening systemically. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of patients who maybe don't brush as much as they should or floss as much as they should, and they have a lot of inflammation. And so I tell them, you know what, your gums are bleeding. It's probably better that we see you more often during the year. Uh-huh. And they're fine with that. They'd rather do that. I have one patient who doesn't like to brush at all, and he comes in every month.
Wow.
He flat out tells me I'm not going to brush. So you just have to see me every month.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That seems bad, though.
No, I worry.
I worry,
too. It's bizarre, but the truth of the matter is, we just clean his teeth every month and he's fine. That's not a normal, that's not my average patient.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we're here to do what people need. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm noticing inflammation and bleeding, then I need to see you more often. And so I do see a lot of patients who have gum disease every 3 months, but I also see people who are perfectly healthy, but just need a little extra. And so they come in every 3 months.
Okay.
So the whole idea here is prevention. You know, we talked about it with fluoride earlier.
Yep.
And so with cleanings more frequently during the year, up to 4 times a year, if we're seeing a need for it, we're going to recommend it. We're not going to wait for the problem to pop up. We're going to act ahead of time.
Okay.
Smart.
Are the whitening treatments you guys do in the office safe to do often? Like, what's the process?
I mean, I probably wouldn't do a professional whitening more than once a year.
Okay.
And then we often do provide kits so that you can touch up at home to keep that whitening boosted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you have one of those kits, you know, you could easily not whiten for another 2 to 3 years in office.
What's the difference between like an office in office whitening and like a kit that I can buy at like
the strength.
Okay.
The strength.
Okay.
So when you come in for an in-office whitening, we're using a higher concentration of peroxide basically. And so you're going to get that immediate whitening. Versus at home, you may need to whiten for 5 days a week. You may have to do it more frequently to get that result. So the in-office whitening is more of an immediate gratification kind of whitening.
I'm terrified, though, of sensitivity from the whitening.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a real thing? It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a real thing.
Okay.
There are some take-home kits that I find cause less sensitivity. And for patients who are sensitive, we recommend Sensodyne afterwards.
Uh-huh.
We'll usually put it on like as a gel on their teeth. And then, you know, I tell some people to take some Advil because you could get sort of like zingers in the chair when you're getting whitening. It's nothing bad. It will go away within a few hours. And Advil usually helps with it. But if you're sensitive, you may have sensitivity. And for some people, we have to break up their in-office whitening to 2 visits for that reason. It can be uncomfortable. I would say the majority of our patients don't have sensitivity, but it is a known possible side effect. And so we always like to warn people ahead of time, get a good history on them about how sensitive they are because we want it to be as pleasant of an experience as possible.
And what about whitening toothpaste? Are those bullshit or can you like gradually whiten your teeth if you use that every day?
Yeah, they work. But I mean, I think we need to be really clear about something here, Raj.
Go.
I think when people think white teeth,
yeah,
we're not talking about whitening. I hope we all realize that. That's more of a veneer situation.
I did not know that.
So like every person we're seeing on TV basically has veneers now, right?
I'm not going to say every person, right? Because I can't always use always and all,
yes,
right? But lots of people have veneers.
Yeah.
And I think there's been much more of a trend towards making them look more natural. And people are a lot more focused on health.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so veneers can have a lot of positive health effects. And I'd say that's probably one of the main reasons that we do them in my office.
Yeah. When I have an implant in the back of my mouth. And when they were putting it in, I remember he was like, oh, yeah, it needs to be a little bit grayer. And I'm like, oh, great. My teeth are gray. Like, he was like, I have to match it to the color of your teeth. And like the one he was putting in was just too white. I was like, oh, that's great.
Well, you know,
no, I would think of it as just more natural.
Think of it as gray. But let me also say that gray is somehow more on the spectrum of white
it
than,
is
than yellow. That's true.
Or brown. So there you go.
You get to come back whenever you want,
thank
Dr.
You.
D. You made me feel so good today.
You don't want him to be like, oh, we need like a green polka dot one.
Yeah, completely. Or just like orange. Like a Cheeto.
You know, it's funny because a lot of times when we do work on our patients and, you know, they need a crown or an onlay or something and they go, is it going to be white, Dr. D? Is it going to be white? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's going to match your tooth color.
Yeah,
I was like, but I do take special requests, purple, green.
Yeah. Yeah. Zebra.
Let me know. Now's the time, right?
I do like a leopard print.
Me too.
Have you all seen any of these like TikTok hacks for better teeth? Like I saw one where people were rubbing banana peels on their teeth that was supposed to whiten it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have used baking soda. Do you know any, like, do you feel like these things actually work?
I mean, I can't say that I like peruse TikTok for all these things, so I don't really know entirely what's out there.
Yeah.
But just based on what you told me, I mean, peroxide is abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't, That's like brushing your teeth with Ajax.
Okay.
Not a great idea.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because people think it's like, it's natural.
It's a lot of bad shit. I'm not going to lie to you. I peruse all the
charcoal, even all that charcoal stuff, it's super abrasive. Mm-hmm. You're brushing away. I think what people don't realize is that like, it removes surface stain, but it also removes the surface of your tooth.
Right.
And then underneath the white reflective enamel is dark, absorbent dentin, which like makes everything look dark and dull. And that's like when we see people with time that kind of have dull teeth. It's not that their teeth are actually yellow. It's that they lost that enamel layer on the outside of the tooth and it's not there anymore. And so that's when we're replacing them essentially with veneers because we're trying to recreate that layer that was lost. So we're protecting the tooth and making it look like it did when they were younger. And then the banana peels is a weird one. I mean, if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was a trend a while back with like oil pulling. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, right. I've done that.
Oh. How do you have the time
for
that?
It's so gross. I tried it. Again, like it's old Ayurvedic like preventative stuff. Like I like to just clarify that like Ayurveda is not medicine. It's just like some health preventative, like holistic stuff that people from India do and did. So I wanted to try it because I heard that like if you do it and then brush it, like removes a lot of like, I don't remember at the time, whatever plaque or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I tried it. I'll try stuff. I didn't find much of a huge difference. My dentist didn't find a huge difference. So I stopped.
But how long did you do it for?
Like a month.
And for like the full 20 minutes that you're supposed to do it for?
That's also another thing. I don't follow directions. I did it for like 35 seconds because it was so gross.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I'm like, when patients would come to me and they're like, I'm not using fluoride, but I'm oil pulling. And I'm like,
No.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Like you can't find the time to brush twice a day for 2 minutes, but you have time to oil pull for 20 minutes every day. Like what's going on here?
I think there's this morbid fascination with like making your whole life extremely natural, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I'm very anti that. Like, you know, I really do love science and medicine and all of that stuff. And I think you can incorporate those things. But if it's, don't substitute.
I don't know. The natural stuff, like I try to be as natural as possible. But at the end of the day, like we live in New York City, there's so much pollution. I'm going to pick my battles.
Yeah, 100%.
And if someone, you know, if there's a tried and true method, you know, I'm just not going to waste my time looking for something else.
And also, yeah, the oil pulling thing, it was for many minutes. And I was like,
20 to be exact.
I have a whole job.
20 minutes.
No, never did it for that long.
I think to wrap it up, let's just go through like, your best routine for someone. Yeah. What should they be doing every day? And like, just lay it out there.
Like an A+ routine.
Yeah.
An A+ routine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fairly simple. Brush with a fluoridated toothpaste, please.
Yeah.
Brush with a soft toothbrush or an electric toothbrush for 2 minutes in a circular motion, focusing towards the gum line, and then floss once per day after brushing. And try not to brush within 20 to 30 minutes of eating. And most importantly, see your dentist at least every 6 months.
And if we do that, we're pretty good. Like the mouthwashes and the tongue brushing, all that, that's like extra credit.
That's extra credit. I agree. That's extra credit. And then when you come in, like we can decide if you need to do that because not everybody has the same needs.
Right.
But I think that that's kind of the baseline and you should be in pretty good shape doing those things.
I've learned so much.
No, I'm freaking out. Like I'm so I thought I knew a little bit what I was doing.
Thank you, Dr. D.
Thanks for having me.
All of your insight. This is amazing.
I hope you guys will come visit me soon.
Yeah.
Oh, I certainly will.
And now it's time for Better in 5. These are your top 5 takeaways from this episode.
All right. The first one is brush twice a day with a fluoride toothpaste and a soft bristle toothbrush, ideally an electric one.
Mm-hmm. Number 2, acid is your enemy. And you actually don't want to brush your teeth right after eating or drinking an acidic food because you'll literally be brushing acid into your teeth.
God, who knew? Number 3, sensitivity toothpaste and whitening toothpaste actually work. So if you think you need them, use them.
Number 4, flossing is about more than just getting food out of your teeth. It's getting rid of all that grime too. So for most people, it's a good idea. You can also try a water pick.
This is the sexiest conversation on planet
Ever.
Earth. And number 5, see your dentist ideally every 6 months. And if you don't like them or if you're scared to go, find a new one. Okay, so Noah, after that conversation, do you think you're taking care of your teeth as well as you thought you were?
I think I am, but my mind was blown by a lot of the things that she said.
Me too.
Like, I did not know that I should actually be flossing after I brush. And I'm having a hard time coming to grips with that because I have such a routine, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, the routine is definitely hard to change. I'm thinking about what she said about not brushing right after the lemon water or the coffee. I'm going to have to remind myself of that because I did not know that was a hazard.
I think there are so many things that we just have been taught or that we just learned by osmosis just from being human beings in the world. And when you have someone come in and say, actually, there's a scientific reason why you should or shouldn't do that, it's really good for us to learn that.
I think so. And without judgment. Like, I think we all need non-judgmental dentists like Dr. D.
Especially because you're going into a position that's really vulnerable, right? We can't see in our mouths, really. We don't know what to look for. We're going to have to spend a bunch of money, probably.
They're peering into your mouth sole.
Completely. And also, it might hurt.
Yeah.
So you want someone who's not going to be an asshole.
Agree.
Anyway, until next time. As long as there are things to get wrong, we're going to be right here to help you do them better.
Love y'all.
Do you have something you think you're doing wrong? Email us at amidoingitwrong@huffpost.com and let us know.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.